How many of you guys really enjoy Christmas and Thanksgiving with family? Everybody absolutely enjoys that? Everyone has a crazy uncle, right? Everyone has a weird aunt. Everyone has that older person when you're a kid who kisses you on the cheek and you're like, oh. Everyone has a cousin who's like, did you have to invite them again, mom and dad? We all have weird people in the family. But we're family, right? We have weird people at Trinity. I just joined. Sorry, we added one. But we're family. Family doesn't give up. Family doesn't run. When times get tough. When preferences get stepped on. They look to Jesus. They die to self. And they pick up their cross. And they love one another. When we moved here, it wasn't an option for my four boys to stay back in Ohio. They thought it was at times. But we're family. And going through this difficult season for our family will draw us together and make us stronger. Going through avoiding difficult times to join together in oneness and to avoid that time will make the church weak. And we'll be short-sighted for the way God uniquely designed you to walk in his ways of love and to walk towards forgiveness to one another. Families grow and change. I have four boys, and if they're living in my basement in 10 years and continually playing Fortnite, we have a problem. Families grow, people mature, and they're sent out on mission. That's exactly what the church is. We grow as family, we mature, and we're sent out. We don't sit in the basement playing video games and huddle together. We're sent as missionaries, as family. The church gathers. We don't go to church, like I said. So what do we do as family? What does it look like? And I want to help us land in some application in Ephesians chapter 4. Because for the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians, Paul is laying down who Jesus is and how he's reconciled us to himself and to one another. It's kind of a theological dissertation of who God is and what Jesus has done and who we are. And at chapter 4, he turns the page and uses this word, therefore. And he now brings some application and drives it home. Out of that identity as adopted sons and daughters, out of being redeemed and rescued to be brought together as one, how do we love one another? But before I get to that, the whole point of us, remember, friends, if it's all about us, we've missed the point of loving one another. We are one to bless the world. Goes back to this, Abrahamic covenant. We are one to bless the world. Does that make sense, friends? We gather as family to show, to show the love. It is an outward movement. If we just say we love one another, we gather in ABS, we gather in small groups, just to study the Bible, and that's an end in itself, we are falling short of God's design and his purpose for our lives. Amen. We invite those who are far from God into community so they see the love that we have for one another. Amen. So what does that look like? The miracle of community. Ephesians chapter 4, bringing some application as we try to land the plane briefly this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, Paul, this is a guy named Paul, he actually hated Jesus, so if you hate Jesus this morning, you're welcome here. I'm really glad you're here. If you're questioning Jesus, I'm glad you're here, because this guy that used to kill Christians and persecute Christians then wrote this part of the Bible because he met Jesus, his life was transformed, and now he's preaching Jesus. So if you're here wondering, we're glad you're here, and you're in good company, because this dude Paul, he was screwed up until he met Jesus. So he says this, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So he's saying, if you want to walk in the way of Jesus, this is your calling. What does it look like to literally walk in the footsteps of Jesus? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit to the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So what do? We live together in love as family. Well, that's what he's describing here. What do we look like? What do we do? And let's walk through this in some application. He says, with all humility. We walk towards one another in humility because Jesus came to us in humility. Now, friends, we don't just tap on this humility. We don't just tape on. I'm going to be more humble today. I believe the only way to walk in humility is to look at Jesus more and more. Humility is seeing ourselves in light of Jesus. And Jesus, in Paul's writings in Philippians, he says he came here in humility. He emptied himself to become one of us and humbled himself to even death on the cross. So the only way for us to walk in humility is to be broken by our own sin and be desperate upon Jesus on a daily basis. We cannot be like the little engine that could. I think I can be humble today. No. It is not a moral attribute that we tape onto ourselves. It is a gospel fluency of our own lives, only seeing ourselves in light of who God is. We are humbled and broken and dependent upon Him. If we see ourselves compared to other people, we fall into two ditches. If I compare myself to others, I'm either prideful or I'm in despair. I don't measure up, or I'm better than them. But if I continue to sit at the cross of Christ on a daily basis to live in the gospel, if I look at Jesus, I cannot be at a place of humility as I interact. And don't we want to be a family that is humble towards one another? Seeing ourselves first in light of God, so we look to God's preferences and His mission and not ours. That we die to self and pick up the cross is the only way of humility. Second, he says, gentle. We walk with one another in gentleness because Jesus is with us. And when I say He is with us, not like He's like my buddy, He's in my pocket or something. It's Jesus is gentle with us. Have you experienced the gentleness of Jesus? Read the gospel accounts of how gentle He was with a woman caught in adultery. As a woman bleeding for years and hemorrhaging, and how gentle He was. Her. Jesus is a man, God-man, who expresses and shows gentleness towards us. It is power under control, is gentleness. The same power that rose Christ from the dead resides in us, the Holy Spirit. It is power under control that we walk in gentleness. How do we walk in gentleness? How did Jesus walk towards us? Again, not a moral thing we tape on. It's a thing that we walk in because He walked towards us in it. It goes on, it says, with patience. We walk with one another with patience because Jesus is with us. Because Jesus is patient with us. Now, if you've ever babysat or you've had kids, patience is a significant attribute, right? Like, this is really hard. Or you've ever been in a friend with somebody else that disagrees. That would be everyone in the room. Patience is waiting for God to act. I'm not patient at times because I think I'm in control, right? Where does patience come out? My timing and my control. So it's my heart issue. Patience is not a moral attribute we slap on. It's a heart issue that comes out. I'm not patient because I want to be in control of something and I want it done in my timing. Nobody's amening that. I'm the only sinner up here. So I've got to go to God and I have to trust in His sovereignty and His control of all things. And His timing of all things. And when I rest in that place and that flows to the hearts and minds of who I am, then I think the fruit of patience bears itself in our lives. If I'm just sitting here agreeing, I got to be patient, it doesn't happen. It's got to be through what He's doing as I have a relationship with Him. Then He says that we would bear with one another in love. We walk in love, bearing with one another because Jesus is with us. Bearing in love. Love extends in the midst of mess. He loves patiently with us. He bears with us as we stumble and trip forward. Have you ever been with a kid who's trying to learn a bike? Ride a bike? Patiently bearing with them to ride the bike, holding it, moving forward with them, the skin knees, and you're bearing with them in love because you want them to get off on their own. And so God is with us. He's patient and bearing with us. And we bear with one another in love because we disagree at times. It's difficult at times. our preferences and our flesh get in the way. But we're called to be a people who love one another out of bearing with one another because he did it with us. Later on in Ephesians, he says, we would love that he first loved us. John, 1 John 4 talks about it as well. We don't have time to cover that. And lastly, he says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We strive for unity in the family because it is what shows the world we follow Jesus. It is a gift. Unity and oneness is a gift that he's redeeming back. It is us as stewards. Are we going to keep the unity and oneness as family? We are family. What do? We keep the bond of peace and unity. We don't give up on one another. We pick up our cross and die to our own preferences for the way of Jesus. For us to move forward as a church, that is the only way we will move forward to bless the South Metro area. When we look to Jesus, we look to the cross that draws us together as family. From all different backgrounds, ethnicities, socioeconomic background, and I want people to say, why do those people gather together? They are so different. It's the cross of Christ that causes us to have unity around him. So for us to walk as family, we will set aside our preferences. We will set aside our thoughts of what church is and look to King Jesus for the way of his ways. It will be difficult. It'll be hard. But would we walk in our identity as a family? You are a child of God, adopted into the family. It's who we are. It's who we are. So the big idea was this. We are family. Therefore, we live out of love so the world sees Jesus. We love God. We love one another to display the love of Jesus to the world. That's the miracle of the oneness of community. So may we be a people who look to King Jesus for the way of life. May we walk in our identity as children of God in the family of God. May we look to him so we can walk in humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love so that the world might see the miracle of Jesus, which is the community of faith and oneness and unity. A world that is broken and fractured and looking for wholeness. And Jesus sent oneness and wholeness into the world, and it's called the church family. So watch this little video that kind of is an illustration of two churches in the ESCA that came from two different places, and it's a miracle to show the world of God's love.
The story of Park Community is the story of God's word coming to life in the local church.
Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
We hear these passages.
We long for the day when the church demonstrates greater unity.
A place where personal preference takes a back seat to God's holy purpose.
In the summer of 2015, two EFCA churches found themselves at the crossroad of personal preference and God's purpose.
City Vision was a new church plant, a congregation of young people eager to build community and reach the city of St. Louis Park with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lacking a permanent home, experienced Christians, and a trusted presence in the city made progress difficult and slow.
Park Evangelical Free was a church filled with faithful saints and a rich history of serving the city of St. Louis Park. And while they still desired to reach their city, they were struggling to do so. Years of conflict in the church, as well as change in the city, led to a decline in attendance, and the future of the church was uncertain.
As one could imagine, these two churches had very different ways of doing church.
The music was different. The preaching was different. The dress code was different. The philosophy of ministry was different.
When it came to preference, it seemed like almost everything was different. But in spite of their differences, God began to draw these two churches together. It became clear that God's purpose for them was the same, to make disciples of Jesus Christ in St. Louis Park and beyond.
Two different churches.
One common purpose.
God began to test the willingness of these two churches to apply what they knew of the scriptures.
Did we really believe that it was good and pleasant for God's people to live together in unity?
Did we really count others more significant than ourselves?
instead of competing with one another, what if we decided to work together? If there was an older church longing to reach the community, but need a revitalization.
And if there was a younger church filled with energy and hope, but lacking stability and resources.
Wouldn't it make sense to lay down individual preferences, unite as brothers and sisters in Christ, and work together for the advancement of God's kingdom? On August 10th, 2015, 54 members from Park Free and 54 members from City Vision voted unanimously to merge together as one new church, laying down personal preferences, ready to see God move in new and exciting ways in St. Louis Park. The last 2.5 years have been quite the journey.
We've seen neighbors meet Jesus, new members baptized, community groups multiplied, and Sunday worship attendance soar.
All of this is a result of God's grace as He pushed us to trust Him, leaving the comfort of our personal preferences and stepping out in faith to pursue His purposes. As we look at the landscape of the local and global church, we believe this story can be repeated in other communities and churches.
There are declining churches all around us in need of change and revitalization.
And there are many church plants in need of stability and mentoring that comes from people who have walked with Jesus for many years.
If we could encourage any church, young and old alike, be willing to follow God into the unknown. Lay down your personal preferences. Trust that you will experience abundantly more than all you could ask or imagine. The merge of Park Free and City Vision is just one example of how God is moving in the North Central District of the EFCA.
May we stand together on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
May we work together for unity in the gospel and advancement of God's kingdom.
And may we grow together as we embrace history, navigate change, and forge an abundant future.
Amen. Family, right? Family. Forget about me. I love you. That's what family is. Giving up our own preferences, giving up our own desires for the needs of the family, of us together. We're going to celebrate that as we go forward. We're going to close the service this morning with a time of giving. It's also a time when Trent talked about those connect cards at the beginning of the service. It's also a time you would put the connect card in the bag as well when that comes by. And I want to let you know this morning, if you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to let you know that feel free to let the bag pass in front of you. We truly believe that giving is for those that call Trinity their church home. It's a family giving to the advancement of the kingdom in this area. But as we continue to worship this morning, we're going to close with the song as well. And if you know the song, sing it with us. We have to accept our position as children of God until we accept our position as the family of God. So sing with us if you know this one.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.